This goes to Dr. Ferguson. The fax is 989-668-0423. Regarding Linda Tasker, T like Tom, A-S-K-E-R. Date of birth 6/14/1945. Dear Dr. Ferguson, this is a consultation for Mrs. Tasker, who was sent for evaluation of elevated creatinine levels, which were noted in May of 2023. May 30th, 2023, creatinine 1.09 with estimated GFR 52, and then November 9th of 23, back to baseline, creatinine of 0.96, greater than 60 GFR. December 3rd of 24, creatinine 1.17, GFR 47. 12/18/24, creatinine 1.31, GFR 41. And most recently, 3/25/25, creatinine 1.17 with GFR 47. So stable at this point. She is a markedly obese lady who weighs 319 pounds, and she's had multiple attempts at weight loss, including a lap band surgery in 2010. She did lose 100 pounds with that surgery, but over the years she gained about 80 back, according to her husband. And she has had a very severe cerebrovascular accident in 2012. She went down to Novi, Michigan, to have TPA done, and that did improve her outcome a great deal. She had right-sided weakness and initially couldn't walk, but within the last 2 years, she's been walking with the walker and assistance. And her husband and daughter accompany her to this visit. She does have difficulty comprehending speech if we speak too fast or tell her too many things at once. Slow, direct speech, simple things make more sense to her and are easy for her to understand after her stroke. She's had a history of paroxysmal atrial fibrillation, but she's been in the normal sinus rhythm for many years now. She does have severe chronic low back pain and takes a very high dose of gabapentin. And kidney function currently supports the dose she is on, although if she declines further in kidney function, that dose will need to be tapered down, depending on her estimated GFR. Currently today, she's had no dizziness or headaches, no chest pain or palpitations, minimal dyspnea on exertion, none at rest, chronic edema of the lower extremities, and the stroke-affected side has worse edema than the left side. That's much better. She does have an aortic ascending aneurysm that they are watching with CAT scans of the chest. That is stable according to the patient and family. No nausea, vomiting, or dysphagia, no constipation, diarrhea, blood, or melena. Urine is clear. She does have chronic urinary incontinence that's very bad at night. She requires protective garments all night long due to the chronic urinary leakage at night. During the day, she can usually use the bathroom without incontinence. And no known diabetes and no neuropathic pain of the lower extremities. Past medical history, she had a massive stroke in 2012 with right-sided weakness, paroxysmal atrial fibrillation, hyperlipidemia, hypertension, gastroesophageal reflux disease, hypothyroidism, recurrent urinary incontinence, chronic low back pain, morbid obesity, and the aortic ascending aneurysm in the chest. Past surgical history, cholecystectomy in 2019, bilateral cataract removal 2018. She had a brain aneurysm surgically repaired 2016, lap band surgery 2010, left carpal tunnel release 2009, L4-5 fusion, 2009, left total knee replacement, 2004, right total knee replacement, 2008, total abdominal hysterectomy, 1996, tonsils and adenoids removed, 1966, appendectomy, 1962, and she had placement of the right subclavian infusoport for lab draws and medication administration if she requires injectable medicine in 2020, and that is flushed every 3 months. Social history, she never smoked cigarettes. She does not use alcohol or illicit drugs. She is married, lives with her husband, and she's a retired paraprofessional. Family history is significant for heart attack, brain aneurysm, which was her father, and kidney failure on dialysis, and that was her mother. Review of systems as stated above, otherwise negative. Drug allergies, she's allergic to Voltaren, penicillin, Biaxin, and clindamycin. Medications, lisinopril, 40 milligram daily, Zetia, 10 milligram daily, amlodipine, 5 milligram daily, Pepcid, 20 milligram twice a day, Synthroid, 100 microgram daily, Eliquis, 5 milligram twice a day, Lipitor, 20 milligram at bedtime, Gabapentin, 800 milligram 3 times a day for the severe back pain, for at least 10 years she's been on that, Aspirin, 81 milligram daily, multivitamin daily, Tylenol, 500 milligram. She takes 2 capsules up to 3 times a day as needed for pain. Tramadol is 50 milligram twice a day. Vitamin D3, 1 daily. Physical exam, height is 62 inches, weight 319 pounds. Pulse is 60. Blood pressure, right arm sitting, large adult cuff, 136 over 68. Tympanic membranes and canals are clear. Pharynx is clear. Tonsils absent. Uvula midline. Neck is supple. No lymphadenopathy. No jugular venous distension. Lungs are clear. No rales, wheezes, or effusion. Heart is regular. Rate is 60. No murmur, rub, or gallop. Abdomen obese. No palpable liver or spleen enlargement, no masses, no pulsatile areas. Extremities, right lower extremity, 4-plus edema from toes up to knee. Left lower extremity, 2-plus edema, toes to knee. None in the abdomen, none in the upper thighs. And labs, in addition to creatinine levels, most recent labs were done March 25th, 2025. The calcium is 9.4, albumin 4.4, liver enzymes normal, creatinine was 1.17, sodium 134, potassium 4.4, carbon dioxide 27, TSH was elevated at 13 with a normal free T4 of 0.93. And 12-3 of 24, hemoglobin 11.6, platelets 239, white count is 5.3. Iron, 12-3 of 24 was 60, and iron saturation 23. Last year analysis was done May 30th of 2023, negative for blood, but 30-plus protein. Also, the patient has been drinking 126 ounces of liquid a day. 80 of that were water, and the rest are milk, Gatorade, cider, cherry juice, and cranberry juice. And that's actually quite excessive in light of all the edema of the lower extremities. So we're going to decrease the amount of liquid that she drinks per day slowly. Assessment and plan. 1, stage 3A, chronic kidney disease, most likely secondary to the paroxysmal atrial fibrillation, the aneurysms, and the severe obesity. It's possible that she has some sleep apnea that also causes the edema of the lower extremities. So we did discuss that you may want to do a sleep study for her to get this evaluated. There's really small devices to use just in the nose that she may be able to tolerate if she had sleep apnea. We are going to get the recent echocardiogram report from her cardiologist at West Michigan Cardiology for review. She was told by the cardiologist that the echo report was normal and there was nothing in the heart that was of worry. She's going to get a port flush again May 27th, and so we'll get our repeat labs done then. And we are going to do a urinalysis with microscopic as well as a protein to creatinine ratio, a CBC renal panel, and an intact parathyroid hormone. And then labs will probably be done every 3 months thereafter when she gets the port flushed. And for mechanical compression, we did discuss that she may be able to use Velcro compression gear on the lower extremities. Those can be loosened, taken off, and put back on easily, a lot easier than the zipper devices. Or possibly some physical therapy for lymphedema, if there's anything local that would can do that for her. And we are scheduling her for a kidney ultrasound with post-void bladder scan that will be done at Carson City Hospital, just to check the size of the kidneys, make sure there's no obstruction, and see if she has much urinary retention. And we've encouraged her to continue to try to lose weight. Possibly the GLP-1 inhibitors could help, like Z like zebra, E, P like Paul, B like boy, O-U-N-D, or Wygovy, W-Y-G-O-V-Y. But many times Medicare doesn't cover those just for weight loss. Those need to be used, or similar drugs need to be used for diabetes control. That's a thought that possibly those could help with weight loss, and then that would help her overall health. And she will have a follow-up visit with this practice in 4 months. And for fluid intake, we've asked her to cut the fluid back from 126 ounces in 24 hours to 90 ounces. And the goal will be getting her down to 64 ounces of fluid in 24 hours. And she will follow a low-salt diet also to help with fluid retention, and then possibly Velcro, applying Velcro compression devices for the lower extremities could help her also. And the patient was also evaluated and examined by Dr. Fuente. All care was coordinated with and directed and approved by him. Mary Stunner, CNP/Jose Fuente, MD.